This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Good evening. This is Rob Cash, your host this week on The People Speak. The People Speak invites audience participation. You can listen by phone calling 716-748-0144. Or if you have a computer or smartphone, go to bbsradio.com. Navigate to station 2. Click on the listen icon. You can also participate during the show with call-in questions for our guests toll-free in the United States or Canada. 888-429-5471. Tonight, I take a lot of pride and pleasure in bringing you the mother of holistic medication, Dr. Gladys McGrary. Dr. McGrary is a board-certified doctor. She started her venture in medicine during World War II and has been practicing ever since, 60 years and still counting. She is now 94 and still practicing medicine. She realized a long time ago there was something wrong with our medical system, and she co-founded the Holistic Medical Association of America. And tonight we're here to talk about alternative medicines and how to get away from bad medicines. Dr. Gladys, good evening. Welcome to the show.
Good evening. Good evening.
Fill us in about yourself a little bit, Dr. Gladys. We know
all right,
that.
All right. Well, I'm happy to be on this show with you, and I was born and raised in India. My parents were medical missionaries in India. And so I came into this world knowing that I was to be a physician. So there wasn't any question about what I was to do. I just knew it. And the question was how I was going to get there. So I from the start, that was where I had to be. And so when I came over to the States, I was 15 when I started college and went through medical school here and met my husband before the war. And then we were married during the war and went through medical school and all that kind of stuff. Practiced in Ohio for 9 years in his hometown and then moved to Phoenix in 1955 and have been here ever since. During the time that all these years, my purpose in being in medicine really was founded on the kind of work that my parents did, which was totally dependent on interpersonal relationships with the patients. It had more to do with that than it did with the diseases. And I remember, must have been in the mid-70s one time. I was waiting at at doctor's hospital here with a colleague of mine for patients to have their babies. And he said to me, you know, the problem with medicine is that the fun has all gone out of medicine. And I pondered that for years because I knew what he was talking about. He wasn't talking about fun and games. He was talking about why we went into medicine in the first place. And he was right. And it took me a long time to really realize the reason that the fun had gone out of medicine. And finally, it dawned on me that everything that I was taught in medical school and what is still being taught had to do with killing. We have a whole process, and it was during the war that I was trained, but it never stopped. It was still killing diseases, getting rid of the whole process was focused on getting rid of or killing, and there's no fun in that. I mean, there's fun in life and joy and allowing ourselves to live. And one day I was talking to friends of mine, and this must, I don't know, it was years ago, and I said to them, the reason the fun has gone out of medicine is because everything that we do is focused on death and killing. We kill bacteria, eradicate AIDS, eliminate diabetes, And our language is against life itself. It's antibiotics, anticonvulsants, and the one that really gets me is the anti-aging thing. You know, what are we supposed to do? Couldn't it be better to age into health? And even our support groups support the diseases. They don't support the patient. We have cancer support groups and epilepsy support groups. So somewhere along the line, in our we're looking for how we can help people. We lost people. And so I stopped and I said, you know, what we really need is living medicine instead of killing medicine. And so that's what I've been working on since. We started the American Holistic Medical Association because we realized that the whole body, mind, and spirit connection was gone. So we worked at bringing that back in, and then we found things like acupuncture and homeopathy and these other alternatives that were really, really part of living medicine because their full focus was on life, not on killing. So that's a quickie about me.
Okay, so what do you have to say to these doctors that are prescribing all these bad medications to
people?
Well,
they're doing what they know to do. They're doing what they were taught to do, and all medication isn't bad. You know, surgery isn't bad if it's needed. If we want to think that surgery is bad because there's so much, it's so overdone, and we think that we can get rid of things. But if it's needed, it's needed. I remember I had a patient one time who absolutely refused to have surgery, and he was going to die if he didn't. And I, because there wasn't anything, it had to be done. And finally, I said to him, because he was just adamant that he wasn't going to have surgery. Finally, I said to him, well, you know, do you know anything about gardening? And he said, yeah. He said, I'm a gardener. So I said, okay, when you prune a tree, why do you cut off the part that you cut off? And he says, so that the tree itself has better life. That part isn't needed anymore, and so that the tree has more life and it can produce better. And I said, well, sometimes surgery is that. You take away the part that is no longer serving you, and you go on with your life because you have more, you know, your life force is there. So the therapeutic modality itself, like allopathic medicine or osteopathic medicine, there's nothing wrong with them. It's the focus. So if a physician is working with a person and they find that a certain modality is helpful for that particular person, then that's what they use. So I can't just blanketly say that all allopathic medicine is bad, because it's not. It's saved lives, and but the focus has been all crazy.
Well, dealing with my mother, and she's up in age around your age, I know a lot of doctors are anxious to do different things. Instead of giving her a hysterectomy, they decided that they were going to put the mesh in her to hold up her bladder and everything else.
That's too bad. Yeah.
Yeah, which causes more problems. Are doctors doing things for the money aspect of it, or are they trying to help people? That's where we have a little bit of a dilemma with today's medicine. It seems like they're not being taught to heal. They're being taught to prescribe and cut. And,
that happens, and you have bad apples in every barrel. But my prayer is that when we look to something like life itself and the whole process, then our purpose is and I hope that people begin to learn this too, that our purpose is in working with healing, not curing diseases. There's a difference. I've come up with five L's that I say are the basis for living medicine. The first is life. If you're not alive, there's not much you can do about it, you know. You have to be alive enough to do something. And life itself becomes a great healer, but that life is the first one. The second is love. If a therapeutic modality, no matter how good or how bad it is, if it isn't presented with love, you can cure the disease but not heal the person. And so it has to have the loving component, both of the patient and from the caregiver. The third is laughter. You know, you have to put some juice into it. There has to be fun in life, and you have to have the ability to see the humor in it. And the fourth is labor. You have to work at it. I know a lot of people who really believe the first three, but they're not willing to work at it. They're not willing to, and this is patients and doctors alike, they're not willing to do anything about the diet or exercise or look into what works for them. You know, if you're going to get some real life living medicine going, you have to work at it. And the fifth is listening. You have to listen. You have to listen to your own self, your own body. We have within us what I call the physician within each one of us, which is the person that knows why we're sick and what we can do about it. So we as doctors on the outside need to listen to that part that the patient is telling us and the world around us and and to what we can find out and what we can know. Excuse me. So does that answer that question?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I have questions for you on alternative medications. I have Jake in the United Kingdom, and he wants to know, have you studied Siddhi or Ayurveda and Chinese medicine?
Well, I'm not an expert in either Ayurvedic or Chinese medicine, but I really respect them. Those are complete studies, and there are a lot of people who claim to know a lot about them, but they haven't really given the time to really find out. I know about them, I've studied them, but I'm not an expert in them.
Okay. And I have a question from another caller. Lena in Nevada says she has chronic vertigo, and she wants to know if you have any recommendations for her.
Has she tried, has she had any adjustments, craniosacral adjustments? If she has, and they haven't worked, how about acupuncture? And if that hasn't worked, then sometimes getting on a very strict cleansing diet can help too. So there are a lot of different things that can help with this, but it's a very difficult process. Depends on what's causing the vertigo. It could be inner ear problems. It could be something that is neurological from a cervical vertebra that's out. You know, there are a lot of different things that could cause it.
Right. Oh. Also, I've asked you this on the phone personally, but what do you think of NanoSilver and its abilities to cure diseases like autoimmune syndrome?
I think it's a very good product. I think it's an excellent product.
Now, do you recommend it? Do you recommend it for elderly people?
Yeah. There are a lot of good products like that that is really, really very helpful.
And what do you think of this epidemic going around, the flu epidemic that's going on right now? And here in Orange County, California, we've got a measles epidemic going on in the local high schools and things of that nature. Would you recommend NanoSilver for those infections? Or
yeah, but you know, the immunizations are still there to help people. The immunizations in the past We have much better immunizations now than we did in the past. There were a lot of children, particularly with pertussis, who had problems, neurological problems, and so on. But the, you know, I've been in medicine long enough to know what polio does and to whole groups of people, and what measles epidemics do, and what whooping cough does. It was a real blessing to us. And growing up in India, I saw smallpox, but smallpox has been eradicated. So it's not that so much. I think that it's really important for people to pay attention to their immune system and to build their immune system so that they can withstand the problems that come to them, because we're going to have these diseases around. But the use of castor oil packs is just huge. The use of supplements, the help, you know, we can get help from arnica and herbs. They're just, we're in such a wonderful world right now where these things are available to us, and we can make our choices. We have a right to choose what we want to do with the different aspects of medicine.
Oh, very good. What can you recommend for, like, Barrett's disease and things of that nature?
What disease?
Barrett's, or the hiatal hernia that's caused by Barrett's disease, or H. pylori?
Yeah. there are things like aloe vera, the aloe vera plant, taking that daily helps a lot with any of the gastric problems. But, you know, having a diet that is alkaline-producing is very important. And eating in a comfortable, in a relaxed atmosphere is vital, too. If we grab a meal and are rushing from one thing to the next, our stomach and the diaphragm and the whole solar plexus just get wadded up. And you can take things and you can do things, but until you correct the way you're living your life, you may just be taking care of the symptoms and not really dealing with it. It's a matter of finding out what, you know, one of the things I like to ask patients is, what do you want to get well for? You know, we have to have something that makes us really want to be around and alive. So when we focus on life and living, then we find the things that enhance our immune system and make us healthier.
Okay. Lena in Nevada again wants to know if there's any natural medication that might be able to help with chronic vertigo.
May I tell her the situation?
Yes, yes. Please. Yes.
Hi, She's how on- are you?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Good. I've had this issue for a long time. I've done MRIs. I've done hearing tests. I've done every single test you could think of. It goes away, it comes back, and it gets back, and it's really bad, almost feeling that the brain is coming out of my head at certain times. Mm. I've done everything. I don't know what else to do. I don't take medications. I tried medications. All it does is put me to sleep. So yeah. I don't know what else to do.
How long have you had it, and when did it start?
It started over 20, 30 years ago.
And what happened worse and worse at that time?
I don't know. They're happening when I was
little.
Have you had
osteopathic craniosacral adjustments?
Which is what, chiropractors?
No. Well, you have some chiropractors do craniosacral, but osteopaths or people that do craniosacral adjustments, I would highly recommend that you find somebody that does that kind of adjustments. And what about acupuncture? Okay. Have you tried that?
That was my next step, since nothing else is working.
Yeah. Well, either one of those two I would highly recommend before you give up.
I am not giving up.
You sound too young to give up.
I'm actually 55 almost, so.
That's young.
Not giving up.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I just said thank you so much. I really appreciate it. You guys.
Oh, you're certainly welcome.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling in. All right. Flu vaccines, doctor. What can you tell us about these flu vaccines? Should people be taking these vaccinations?
People have to decide that on by themselves. You know, it depends on their immune system, depends on where that's what's available, what their living conditions are, and so on. So certainly the flu vaccines have been helpful to keep epidemics down and so on, but just the vaccine by itself, unless you're taking care of yourself, may not do it, So, yes, but not by itself.
Well, I remember
every
time.
Everybody. A lot of people should not take flu vaccines if they feel that they shouldn't.
Right. I remember every time my sister or mother got it, I would end up getting sick. So I put a stop to that because they were getting the flu shots and I was getting sick. Or they would also get sick in return, so
I found something that helped if I was going overseas and I had to have shots in order to travel and stuff, I'd get the shot and I'd come home and take a hot Epsom salts bath until I began to really sweat. And what happens is that your body takes what's good about the injection and sweats out what's toxic. It works.
Oh, that's a good idea. What about the supposed mercury in a lot of the immunizations?
I think there's much less now. You know, it used to be, but people have more mercury in their teeth than, which is a bigger problem.
Correct. And how about chronic MRSA or something of that? What would you recommend for that? We're just trying to give our listeners ideas because
right.
I know a lot.
Well, they need, MRSA, chronic MRSA, find what makes you healthy, because it's different for each individual. We're so used to fighting diseases and thinking that that everybody will respond the same way to the therapeutic modality, and no two people respond the same way. We have to find what works for us. And sometimes what works for us is getting out and taking a hike and getting some fresh air into our lungs. And sometimes what works for us is to go swimming in the ocean. You know, we find what makes us healthy, and that's what we work towards. If we're always fighting diseases, we'll never get an end to that because it's different for everybody. Each person's, every woman's breast cancer is her own. It's different. And so to try, and anything else, if we try to treat everything in the same way as the same disease, then we're treating diseases, not people. And we mess up. So,
correct, and that seems to be what the medical field is doing.
That's what we're taught. Uh-huh.
Right, and they're putting people on chemo, which is, I feel that it's just another poison. I can't see why you're injecting radiation into people that causes cancer in order to kill cancer. It's an oxymoronic treatment, as far as I'm concerned. Doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, people have to make that decision on their own and get as much information as they can. And if they decide that that's something they have to do, then do the things that support their system so that they can get through it. And there are a lot of things that will support you if that's the choice that you make. And it's a matter of being aware of what's available and then using the awareness that you have and the information that you have to do what your body tells you it will accept. Because everybody's different. And I've lived a long time watching a lot of people try to do the same thing, and it doesn't work.
Correct.
Because each one of us has to find our own way.
Correct.
And I've take got responsibility for ourselves.
Okay. I've got another caller on line one. Mike, are you there?
This is Mike in California. Hello, Dr. McGarry. I had a question. I've had allergies for the past 7 years. You have any suggestions on handling that? Mainly it's nasal. You know, I guess it all starts in the nose.
I have a lovely suggestion for that, but you have to do it for a long time. You get a medicine dropper and you get a bottle of cold-pressed castor oil. And every night when you go to bed, you take the medicine dropper and put 2 drops of the castor oil in the back of your tongue and swallow some water after that. And do it night after night after night. After a period of 6 months, you'll be pretty well over your allergies and you can go on with your life. But it takes a long time.
You have to keep taking the castor oil? Or is that would you suggest regular treatment with castor oil?
Well, you want to get cold-pressed castor oil. You don't want to get the kind they have in the pharmacy that are all fixed up with flavors and so on. You want to get the good cold-pressed castor oil. Put a couple drops on the back of your tongue, swallow some water, and go to bed. But do it every night.
And that works by means of boosting your immune system?
Absolutely. And it works on the Peyer's patches in the upper part of the small intestine. And helps to build a healthy response to allergens.
One other question. There are so many Americans in the United States that have amalgam mercury fillings. Could you comment on that a little bit more?
Thank you. They need to get them out.
Or else what happens?
Well, all kinds of things can happen. People can actually, the lady that was asking about vertigo, that's another thing that she could do. But people have episodes of dizziness, but they also have neurological problems. I mean, mercury's a poison. And we have no business having it in our mouth. Every time we bite down, we send mercury throughout our whole system. A lot of people have really chronic, difficult problems because they have one tooth in their mouth that has mercury in it, or they have a whole mouthful of it.
Well, doctor, I understand that in Europe they've outlawed it. Here in the United States, they still permit it.
Yeah, it should be outlawed.
So isn't it, in effect, our dental system perhaps criminal in negligence?
Well, you might say so. But it's something that people need to stand up and say, I would need this out. I mean, you can get the mercury removed from your teeth. You can get some, they have. In fact, I don't think they're, well, maybe they're still putting mercury fillings in. But
they are.
Not very much. Doctor,
the point is, though, why should Americans have to? I mean, it's like you have to distrust or look with suspicion or take great care at your own practitioner. Why should you go to the doctor or dentist with this idea? What, my God, they might kill me in trying to treat me. You know, I mean, it's just.
That's where we take responsibility for ourselves. And if we go to see somebody that isn't doing what we want, we find somebody who does. You know,
yes,
that's what's going to change it.
My issue is when you go to the auto mechanic, you pretty much expect he's going to overcharge you or he might be. But when you go to somebody who's taken an oath to take care of you, it's a sacred oath to me, to take care of somebody's body, and then to betray that by being taught by a system that actually harms people, I mean, it's just horrendous.
Well, you
yeah,
said
it is,
that.
But, you know, that's always been the case. And so it's not something new. You have people that they're bad apples around. And there are people, and you know, people that just want to get the money and so on and so forth. They're around. But they're the ones that go into medicine because they really believe that they are here to help people are the ones you want to look for, whether it's dentistry or whether it's the field of medicine. It's like, I'm not going to go to a hairdresser that's going to mess up my hair. You know,
well, I have to ask you something. I consider you one of, it sounds like you're one of the good doctors, a leader. And what have you done to oppose this system in place now, and what has been the result? Thank you.
I've written five books, and I talk about it all the time, and we've taken it back to Washington. We have three papers that we've taken back to Washington. We have contacts with our people back there, and that's what I do.
Can you name your books?
Is that why
you're
still in control and nothing has changed?
Because that's life. It doesn't change fast. And if until people take responsibility for themselves, it's, you know, how's it going to change?
Thank you.
One of us have to stand up and say, okay, for myself, this is what I'm doing. For my family, this is what I'm doing, and so on. And the people that I know, this is what I'm doing. The people will change it. We have gotten so used, we've gotten so frightened. You know, we're so full of fear that we're afraid to stand up. And we have to stand up for ourselves.
Absolutely. With that thought, we'll be taking a break real quick, Doctor. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. This is Rob Cash. We'll be back in a few minutes here on the BBS Radio Network with our awesome engineer, Don Newsom.
Got questions? The library's got answers, and books and magazines and CDs and videos and web access and databases and all sorts of other resources at your library. In a world that's information rich, libraries are information smart. Find the right answer and a whole lot more at your library.
With over 150 million registered users, Pal Talk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 Pal Talk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining Pal Talk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
In America, most of us have the basics we need to survive. But there are millions of children all over the world who don't. Children who must work instead of going to school. Children who were forced to fight as child soldiers. Children who can't have an ordinary childhood because they lack health care, clean water, or good nutrition. For these children, there is UNICEF. UNICEF works in 157 countries and territories, providing children with what they need to survive and grow. To learn more, visit unicefusa.org or call 1-800-4-UNICEF.
Hello, this is Wesley Snipes. And when I'm divinely inspired and spiritually motivated, I listen to BBSRadio.com.
In a world of abundance, hunger is a crime. When a malnourished child dies, we're all guilty. Yet it happens every 5 seconds. Let's do the right thing. Put hunger away for good. Please. Give to the World Food Program.
This land is your land.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
All right, welcome back to The People Speak with our guest, Dr. Gladys McGrary. Doctor, welcome back for our second part of the show. Doctor, I got a quick question for you. Poor circulation in the legs, what can we do to help that for the elderly?
Massages are great. Exercise is wonderful, particularly water exercises. It depends, too. If they have a lot of varicose veins, that's another issue. But the and if it's edema from cardiac or kidney problems, that's another issue. But gentle exercise and movement, keeping the body moving, is vital to it. If it can walk, that's great. Just gentle walking is one of the best things. And most of us sit too much, too long a period of time. Even if we're working with a computer or something, we're too at it too long. I mean, I have to watch myself with that. You have to get up and move around, or you do get trouble with your legs.
Right. Now, could that be a sign of any other ailment that might be going on?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You could have heart trouble or diabetes or kidney trouble. There are a lot of things that could be going on. And, you know, it could be that a good adjustment could change that, too. Sometimes there's just a structural problem that has caused it. So, yeah.
So you recommend a good massage and a good chiropractor for that. Okay, great, great. I guess that'll work for certain people. Anything else that you can tell us that might keep us on the health track? Beneficial foods, spices, anything of that nature? And by the way,
all of those things are so important, but they're so individual. Some people need salt. Other people shouldn't be eating salt, you know. People just need to find out for themselves. You know, it's like I had a patient, this woman had lung cancer, and she'd had all of the chemo and radiation, everything, for the lung cancer. And she called me, and they said she needed a blood transfusion. She didn't want it. And I said, why not? Well, she was afraid of AIDS and hepatitis, and so she didn't want the blood transfusion. And I said to her, I tried to explain to her that transfusions now are pretty safe, but, you know, if she needs a blood transfusion, maybe that's what she needs. And finally, she couldn't hear anything that I was saying until finally I said to her, you know what a blood transfusion is? It's a gift of love. There's somebody in this world who loved you enough to give their life blood for you. That's what a blood transfusion is. So when she was able to take her focus off of the fear of AIDS or hepatitis and put it onto love, she was able to get a blood transfusion, which gave her six more months of... It didn't cure the cancer, but it gave her six more months of living her life with her family and enjoying her life, which she wasn't doing because she was so anemic. So it's that kind of a focus that I think is so vital to why we're doing things. Why are we taking this medication? Why am I going down this path? Is it because I want to enhance my life and make it more productive? Is it because I have so much love that I need to share it? Or is the medication or whatever it is that I'm being treated for, why, what is the focus? See, that's, I think that's where we need to come to grip. It's a paradigm shift, because we're so afraid of everything that we're afraid to really look at and see what our body is telling us. I love to have people work with their dreams. You know, you can get a lot of information from your dreams. Your unconscious mind knows what you need and what you can deal with if you start working with your dreams.
That's a good way of looking at things. My dreams tell me a lot of things at a lot of different points, and they tell me when people are passing away, and I believe that a lot of people should tune in with their mind and their dreams in order to know what's going on around them. How about allergies to foods such as garbanzo beans, peanuts, things of that nature? Do you recommend the castor oil treatment for that also?
Oh, yeah, any kind of allergy. It helps with that. The 2 drops, and it's not going to hurt anything.
2 drops of cold-pressed castor oil.
On the back of your tongue, but it's not going to cure it overnight, you know. I mean, you have to do it. And you have to do it for a long time. You have to do it for a year or more.
Right. That's something I used to tell my sister. She would get on all these diets, and I told her, you need to get on the STI diet. And she's like, what's that? I said, you need to stick to it. And that's the only thing that's going to work. You know, there's no magic pill out there to make you lose weight, even though people would like to think so. And the only way to do things is to just watch what you're eating, take care of yourself naturally.
To work at it.
And try to grow your own foods. That's probably the best way to get the freshest and the
wonderful.
Best
tasting
foods.
Yeah, okay. You can grow a lot of things in little food boxes, you know, little boxes. They're on a patio.
Yeah, and little raised bed boxes.
Yeah.
I'm also looking into bringing in bulbs and growing my own saffron after you told me that it does wonders for the blood.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
And what alternative do you have for Lipitor or blood thinners?
The basic thing that people need to do is take charge of their lives and do the things like exercise and water and a solid diet that is a good Mediterranean diet or something like that. Find out if they are gluten sensitive, then stay away from that. Find out what works for you, but if you're not going to change why you're doing things and change your focus, you will be on medications. You know, then what alternative do you have?
Oh, okay. I've got a couple of more questions for you from listeners. I've got Jake in England. He says he wakes up every day with blocked sore nasals along with a headache. It has been happening for about 6 months. When he blows his nose, the snot is yellow, and sometimes he has blood in it and the nosebleed. He wakes up from general feeling of being hung over. So he's got a feeling that he's been drinking the night before. Maybe you should stop drinking. Just joking. Just kidding. But what do you recommend for that?
Where is he?
He's in England.
Oh, well, it sounds like a chronic sinus infection. And there are things that you can do. Actually, the colloidal silver is very nice for that. But there's a substance called glycothymoline, which is a alkalining substance. You can, I don't know that they can get it in England. You can get it in pharmacies and health food stores here, and make a pack. Take a piece of cloth and soak it with the glycothymoline and put it over your sinuses, over your forehead and eyes, and leave it on if heat feels good, use some heat. Otherwise, leave it on for about half an hour, and do that two or three times a day. That helps. Vitamin C is very helpful too. Getting plenty of vitamin C, and in England, you probably need vitamin D. There, and if you're in an area where there is a lot of smoke or pollution, oh, that's a big problem. You would need to get away from that as much as possible. Or in your home, get a purifier, an air purifier.
Okay. I've got George in California, and he wants to know what you think of baking soda and magnesium chloride therapies.
Well, baking soda, half a teaspoonful of baking soda and a little bit of water at night helps to alkalinize the body, and our bodies tend to be too acid. So I think that's something. My stepmother used to use that, and she lived to be, she used it all her life. Every night she took a half a teaspoonful of baking soda and a little bit of water, and that helped her a lot. So find what works for you.
All right. Now, would that work if people are hypertensive in any sort with the baking soda?
It shouldn't
affect them
enough.
At all.
Just a half a teaspoon is just enough to keep your body alkaline.
Okay. And do you recommend that for people with prostate problems?
I don't think it would hurt, but I don't think it would do anything. See, depends on what the prostate problem is, too. There are too many. There are a lot of prostate problems.
Well, I know since I've been using the baking soda, I don't have to get up as many times as I used to at night.
Well, that's good because you found it, you know, and it's got your body more alkaline. It's a good thing.
Absolutely. Well, anything else that you can add for our listeners that they can do to make themselves more comfortable with whatever it is that they're doing?
Find what makes your life, what makes your heart sing. You know, live your life.
Yeah, sometimes
allow yourself to be involved with life, and look at what's going on in the sun still gets up in the morning and the moon still comes up once a month, and you know, life is good, and focus on that, and your body wants that. Our bodies want to know that it's worth living.
Correct. I can only go with that because it's
okay.
you got to want to live live healthy in order to be healthy.
That's right. It depends on your intention.
Right.
And you can't be fighting your body all the time.
So the recommendation is make your body happy.
Right. Yeah.
Awesome.
Laughter is a great healer.
Yes, it is. Laughter and love. And I guess when people... Oh, another question here. Jane in California wants to know if microwave ovens are harmful.
Well, there are people who wouldn't be able to have any food if they didn't have a microwave oven. So for them, it's a survival thing. I think if you can do without them, it's better, but... just to blanket say they're harmful, that's telling people more stuff to be afraid of. So because there are people who really, if they didn't have a microwave, they wouldn't be able to have food. So what are you going to do? You use what you've got and make the best of it, but you don't do everything in the microwave and you don't stand in front of it you make sure that you have it properly insulated and so on.
Yeah, I try to stay away from it myself.
You've got other ways of doing things.
Absolutely. All right. We've got...
Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if we have any more questions here. Oh, one more. Can you... yes, I believe somebody asked me if I can ask you their question, but I did. He thinks that the allergy might be from tahina. Do you still suggest the castor oil?
Yeah, it's not going to hurt anything.
Exactly. And one other question. What do you recommend for skin cancer?
Oh, my. There's so many different skin cancers. And, a person would have to... I have no answer for that. That has to be individually cared for, because you could have melanoma, or you could have just superficial skin cancer that could be taken off and you're done with it. Or there are some superficial ones that castor oil rubs help with, but I can't say on the radio.
Right.
What to do for skin cancer. It's just too much.
What about cancer in general? What's
the
best
thing
to get?
Each individual person's cancer is different, so it can't be treated the same way. People have to understand that they have to find what works for them. I know it sounds like an old saw, and I keep repeating it, but that's what it is. You find what works for you.
Okay. Awesome. That's like when I had my puppies had parvo. I took one in, and they wanted $1,600 to put them on antibiotics, and there was no guarantee that he would be cured. Yeah. I took his brother back home, and I used yogurt, canned pumpkin, and electrolytes, and a horse syringe, and it worked just fine.
Well, you find what works, and trust the physician within you to give you information that works for you. I had a patient one day, and I thought she needed more vitamin A, and I sent, I guess it was vitamin B that I thought she needed more. I was telling her, so she goes home and she has a dream, and she calls me up the next morning, and she says she had a dream, and the dream was that she was coming into her home carrying two bags of groceries, and as she walked through the door, a lemon rolled off. No, I had told her to have more vitamin C. I forgot. Mm-hmm. Anyway, a lemon rolled off of the roof of her house and landed in her basket, and it was a rotten lemon. So basically, she said to me, I don't think I need the vitamin C. And I said, well, I think your body's telling you don't need vitamin C.
Right.
And so, when you begin paying attention to your body, what your body's response to things are, and how your unconscious mind can give you that, and you begin to take responsibility for yourself, there's a whole world that opens up to you, because now you're in charge of things.
Yes, we are. And once again, people need to take control of their own system and pay attention to their bodies. If they're burping too much, well, whatever they're eating might be giving them acid reflux. And
they need to listen to their bodies. Right. They need to listen to what their bodies are telling them, and what their deeper self is telling them.
But there's some people that just have, issues, and they fear trying something else, like for Barrett's disease. They fear doing like a master cleanse or something to try to clean out their system first. They fear that they're going to get acid reflux, and things of that nature, and they just back away from it. What do you have to say to those people?
Don't let your life be guided by fear. Find a way that you can do things that work for you, and
Correct.
Find them with a love, because you love your body and because you love life, and you look for things that enhance your life, not for the things that are just going to get rid of or kill things.
That's awesome. It's a wonderful show, and I'm enjoying this. We will definitely try to get you back on another time so we can discuss more and hopefully have more questions from the audience and people calling in. But it's been a very, very, very wonderful show this evening, and I endure having you here because not only do I have you here, but I also have an audience in my living room listening to you right now. My elderly aunt and uncle are here. They came specifically to listen to you. And that's
an
awesome...
My latest book is The World Needs Old Ladies.
The world needs... Yes, we do. And I hope to keep my mother around for as long as possible. And you, of course. So, yes, we do.
Thank you. Well, it's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure here also. And I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in to The People Speak here on the BBS Radio Network. Next week, we have Legendarella hosting the show, and it will be all about yoga. Join us next week here on the BBS Radio Network. Thanks again, Dr. Gladys, and we'll talk to you soon. Have a good evening.
One bright sunny morning, in the shadow of the steeple, by the relief office, I saw my people. And they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.